What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird, the podcast and coach here, helping people to launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And one of the things we need to be thinking about is how are we building our wealth? How are we generating streams of income that allow us to pay off our expenses? And when you hear about streams of income paying off expenses, real estate is one of the things that comes up very often as a lucrative path out of the 9-to-5 and into a life of riches. So our guest is going to share with us how he built his real estate portfolio, which includes now over 900 units, and how he was able to escape the 9-to-5, different things he did to build up his real estate portfolio one unit at a time. So he did build a portfolio of real estate rental properties while working as a career as a medical sales representative. And he was able to leave his job in 2012, more than 10 years after he started in real estate, as the portfolio grew to nearly 300 units. As mentioned earlier, he's now at over 900 units. And in the meantime, he enjoys coaching and mentoring seasoned and beginner real estate investors. Our guest who joins us is none other than Jason Pirro. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Mark. I'm really happy to be here.
Jason, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and real estate is such a hot topic because people see how you can get the properties, build the wealth, and have all of that money coming in, pay off your expenses. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you got started in real estate and different ways that you would save up and have that money for real estate when you had your job.
Sure. So I got my start in real estate. You know, I was 24 at the time, so I'm giving my age out, but it was, I graduated college in 99, and I didn't really learn a lot about wealth or wealth building when I was growing up and even in school. But when I graduated college and thought about what I wanted to do with my life, I quickly realized I didn't want to be like in a 9-to-5 or a corporate job forever. I just saw all these like guys who were like in their 40s and 50s that were like miserable. At least they looked miserable. And so, I just started talking to different people and seeing what they were doing, how they're investing money. I had a couple internships in college with, financial planning firms, and I saw, a big disparity. You know, I'd see these really high income earners with, you know, like a very modest or low net worth. And then I'd see like a school teacher with, you know, mega millions of net worth. And it all came back to real estate. So, you know, somebody would say, hey, read this book, read that book. And I read The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Millionaire Next Door, and all these like mindset shifts that I was going through and ideas I was learning pointed to me, you know, me to real estate. It seemed like real estate was that vehicle for me to build income and wealth. And so, starting out, my wife was still in college at the time. I had saved up. And first bit of money I saved, I used as a down payment for a rental property. And when my wife, you know, we got engaged and she graduated, we got married, we kept doing the same thing. We would live on one person's salary. We'd save every bit we could and save up for the next down payment on, for our next rental property. And this was way before I ever learned about, you know, partnerships and hard money and all sorts of different strategies that help propel our portfolio. So we sort of did it the old fashioned way. You know, we sacrificed, lived on less than we made, just saved up the down payments. But that very first property, you know, I was so excited once we closed on it and the rent checks started coming in and, you know, we were left with a little bit of money each month and that left us with enough to, at the time, you know, pay us one of my student loan bills. Mm. And so the next year we bought another, two rental properties and, you know, the next one paid another student loan bill and then, you know, a cell phone bill. And I started looking at it at that time. I'm like, wow, this is a great way to get out of debt, or at least get out of, you know, non-income producing debt. And so that was like kind of the early years of the business, was just reading a ton, networking a ton. You know, there really wasn't a lot online at the time. Not like, you know, Facebook wasn't in existence. There was, you know, none of these kind of like social media meetup groups or anything like that. But just started, you know, saving money and looking to buy rental property kind of one house at a time back then.
And I love the house hacking strategy. Pretty much you buy a duplex, you live in one side, you rent out the other. That's the term house hacking for people new to real estate, but I do love that strategy. And I'm wondering if you just give us some of the numbers, like your first down payments you were making, because you don't go into just starting out with like hundreds of thousands of dollars in for a down payment. So I'm wondering what the numbers looked like on your end, just to make the example more concrete.
Yeah. So on average, I live in Erie, Pennsylvania. For your listeners that aren't familiar, Erie's located between Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, about an hour and a half from each of those cities. So it's a smaller tertiary market, which comprises most of our country. I mean, outside of the big cities, it's these smaller areas where real estate is still affordable. So at the time, and for a lot of years, I mean, there are still $50,000 duplexes available. And so at the time we would save up, say $10,000 or a 20% down payment for a $50,000 duplex. And we would rent, then we'd get a mortgage for $40,000, give or take. And then we'd rent the units out, say on an average of $500 to $600 per month. And so when you run the numbers and look at what a $40,000 mortgage is over 15 years, look at that monthly payment, throwing taxes, insurance. At the time, my wife and I were like painting the units and cleaning the units, so we didn't have a lot of maintenance costs. I'm not handy at all, but she's a lot more handy than I am. But we would fix what we could and just got things that were in relatively decent shape for the first several years until we got an employee and grew to a point where we had an employee that, handyman and maintenance personnel and things like that. But we were buying it, say, at $25,000 per unit at that time, 19 years ago or so. And it doesn't take forever to save up $10,000. I mean, we were starting out, but we just lived very cheaply. Our friends were taking fancy vacations and buying nice cars and buying big houses, and we chose to live very cheap. We did not house hack. That's the one regret I have. I wish we would have done that and lived in one and saved even more money. But that having that, say, few hundred dollars a month of cash flow per property, the math was simple to me at the time. I said, well, hey, if this is giving me, as an example, a duplex giving me $300 or $400 a month of positive cash flow, well, great. I only need to replicate that so many times to replace my income. But of course, as time went on, my income grew, and then other expenses grew, and our goals got bigger. So we just kind of kept growing the business.
And I get the point, like the closer you are to a city, the more expensive the property is going to be. Yeah. Do you find that you don't see as much appreciation, or do you find that there you still have a respectable appreciation that you could charge for the rents each year in that type of setting?
Yeah. So it's funny. I mean, looking back and even now, we have a challenge of projecting out huge rent increases on average, but every now and then I'll look back at rents I was charging 10 or 15 years ago, and it was way less than we're charging now. I have a property I'm selling this spring, and I bought it 15 years ago, and I looked at what the rents were per month. It's a 14 unit. Specifically it's 3-4 units and a 2 unit all on one property. So those 14 units now get $24,000 a year more in rent. So $2,000 more in rent over, over 14 units. That's like, when you space it out like that over time, that's a really nice increase in monthly rent. But it's not a huge appreciation market. So for us, we bought right before 9/11 happened, and the country went through a big recession, and we went through the economic collapse of 2008. And the nice thing about the Erie, Pennsylvania is in these smaller markets is they really weren't affected to the degree that, say, your larger areas and larger cities were. So, just have much more of a renter population. It's more affordable housing, market rate housing, but it's still affordable to most of the population in these areas. So we really never felt the negative effect of rents being too high and then having to come back down. They just had a nice, stable and steady increase over the years.
And that is an interesting dynamic, because when the market has some type of recession, like you see the majority of stocks go down, but you find those small plays, as Jason's mentioning, he's in a smaller location where, you know, it's not, you're not in Manhattan, but you aren't going to get hit by a recession. So that is a good way to, for people who do invest in real estate in cities and stuff, that could be a good way to protect yourself if something were to happen. So I do find that standpoint interesting. You mentioned you were selling a property very soon. And yeah. I feel like some people say, if it's continuing to bring in the income at a profit, why would you sell the property? I wonder if you could share your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, and I'll preface this with the idea that my goal is I would never sell anything. I was going to buy up everything I could and hold it for as long as I lived and pass it down to my kids and grandkids and things like that. But I've evolved that thinking over the years as I've gotten into properties that are larger than I could have ever dreamed of getting into, you know, 100, 200 unit type properties. I've seen it, you know, I've sort of seen the light. And so it's not like I'm just selling the property to go to the casino with it or buy a new car with it or something like that. So for instance, in that property, we also self-manage. So there's a management element to this where I have a company, you know, my company manages the property and we continue to, you know, pay down debt and, you know, have cash flow. But certain properties take a little bit more effort and time to manage. So I'm able to free up the equity in that property and I'll invest that into my, I have a large deal. Actually, we got it under contract today. Maybe by the time your podcast airs, it'll probably be closed, but it's 127 unit complex. And I'm putting the deal together. I'll with a partner, we'll be the majority owners, but I'll also invest in that passively as a limited partner. So I'll take, say, a few hundred thousand dollars of profit from that sale. I'll put this in this other deal that will give me a much more steady and predictable return because it's a much larger unit. A lot easier to kind of predict than say something smaller. And there's nothing wrong with the smaller properties. I love the smaller properties, but it's just transitioning that into maybe a better asset that's still going to make money and give me a return on my return on my equity. It's still going to appreciate and grow. It's just in a larger vehicle at this point.
And the thing that I love about what we're hearing from Jason right now, he said he's selling a property, he said he's buying a property. Even though he has 900 units right now, he still keeps on going. So there is a point where, you know, like some people may only need a few units, a few properties to hit their income goals, but it is worth to like keep on going if you are enjoying it as much as Jason, because Jason is making it a point to, you know, help seasoned and beginner real estate investors through his coaching. So what does make you keep on going? Because, you know, if you have that many units, like, you know, if you have 100, 200, 300, like that's a lot. So what really inspires you to keep on going?
Yeah. You know, a couple things. I mean, I in terms of business and personal development, I mean, I really bought into this idea, you know, maybe 12, 13 years ago when I kind of got turned on to personal development and working on myself, is that I always want to be better than I was the day before. And so in the business, you know, I want to kind of keep working towards excellence and building something we're really proud of. I'm very grateful for where we're at. I don't think we need to buy anything else ever again. And I could just sail off on the sunset and be happy, but I really enjoy providing gainful employment. We have a lot of really awesome employees that I feel responsible to help them grow and achieve their goals. I'm having fun doing deals. I'm having, whether it's the stuff my wife and I just own together or things we're bringing investors in on, that's a lot of fun. So I feel like I'm having fun providing a lot of value to investors, tenants, employees, and then giving back to, you know, like through coaching and mentoring and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, if something's going to drive you, that's where you see like, I feel like if you're only in it for the money, things are not going to work out for you. But you can see that Jason has, you know, he's got a why behind it beyond money. He's got, you know, he wants to support his family, but he wants to support the employees too, because he has that duty. He has that obligation. If you tie something like that to your why, that is going to help you with your real estate, or that's just going to help you with the thing it is that you're after. And I mean, real estate, it's just an investment vehicle. I do more dividend investing, but real estate is definitely something I do want to get involved in. How do you, I know you mentioned when you first began, like you and your wife did a lot of the work around the properties, but how did you gradually like give control to other people and start bringing in property managers? Like, what was that process like?
So from 2001 up until 2005, we went from zero to 23 units. And 2005, our son, our oldest child, our son was born. I transitioned into, I was a pharmaceutical representative, transitioned into medical device sales, which was a lot more of a demanding schedule. And also in mid 2005, came across a deal, my first real hands-on mentor in the business by default, sold me 56 units in one clip. So it was my first $1 million deal. You know, I it was 1.1 million. I came up with 10% down. I borrowed against my 401k. I took lines of credit. I did all these things. I took borrowed against my credit cards to come up with the down payment, and you know, came up with the down payment, and he held the mortgage. So I went from like 23 to 79 units. And that person said, look, you're not going to be able to handle this all yourself unless you quit your job. You're going to need an employee. And now I had just purchased then, that was half of his portfolio. So he basically gave me his maintenance guy. So I tried to do it all myself for about a month or two. And then I realized I was just going to fail at that. So I brought this guy in, and he, you know, was working full time. I'm like, wow, this is great. Like he, you know, like he's taking all this, all these issues off my plate. And then I was still doing a lot of showings and leasing myself. And, but then the schedule got more involved and more involved. And so I, one of the tenants who was at one of the properties we purchased, she was a little bit older, but she had, years of property management experience of managing the property she lived in. It was a 16 unit. And, so I started having her do showings and she started doing rent collection, just kind of eased into that role. And I said, wow, these people could take care of all the stuff that was, you know, costing me time. You know, I mean, I would roll around with like a lawnmower in the back of my car and I would, you know, just stupid stuff like that. And freed up all this time. So I'm like, wow, I'm now making more money. I can go buy more property. And, you know, and they were able to handle that. So, it took me a long time, probably longer than I needed to, though, to really get good at hiring and building the right teams. I mean, it's always a work in progress. I mean, I still feel like, you know, you can always improve, but you know, I used to just hire somebody that, you know, they seemed like they would do okay. But now we have a much better process of trying to get people that are growth oriented, that are going to fit our company values and things like that. But I saw at that time, you know, it was a way to give somebody gainful employment. You know, they were loyal to us. They would take care of our issues at hand, and it helped us, you know, have the ability to have free time, you know, start raising our family, but, you know, keep doing deals and growing the business.
Wow. I mean, before that, you know, 23 units where you're going there, you're doing work, you're taking calls from tenants. I mean, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and over the years, I probably made myself too available to a lot of tenants. So for years, a lot of tenants would still call me. If they couldn't get a hold of the property manager, they'd call me. Or they couldn't get a hold of maintenance, they would call me. And it was just, I don't want to say it was a nightmare. I mean, I enjoyed the business, but it wasn't efficient. It wasn't the right way to handle it. I mean, now, you know, they have a hotline they call, things get reported and delegated out to the appropriate personnel. But you know, I had to get out of my own way. I mean, that was really the key, was get, you know, like having people in place to keep me from getting involved and creating business work that I don't need to have.
And I know you mentioned you closed your first seven-figure deal. You still have the job at that point. You still keep it for a little longer. I'm wondering what was the inspiration behind that? Because some people, they may feel like if they own that many units, they could get out. So I'm wondering.
Yeah. So, you know, I really, like at the time, that goal was to get into medical device sales. I started having some success with that. I had one job, went to another job. Realized that hey, now I'm making bigger chunks of money and the properties started getting bigger. So I said, wow, now I'm making more money. So I want to make more money in the real estate business. I went from having a goal of say making $40,000 a year to making $100,000 a year to two or three or whatever. So the goals started changing a little bit, but, in terms of like the personal income goals, But you know, it became a real challenge at not until probably 2011 or 12, where I you know, we just kept ramping up. And in 2012, I left my day job, and I had acquired in a one chunk 72 units. So that was kind of the impetus to leave the job for good at that point. Took us right, you know, right a hair under 300 units. It just was, even though I had employees, I had to manage those employees and kind of be around. So it just became too much to handle at once.
I mean, that's definitely really great insight. And I mean, this whole episode has been filled with great insights. And I know, I mean, this episode is just an example of how, I mean, your whole theme now is, you know, you still do the investments, but you really want to do that give back to beginners and seasoned real estate investors. I'm wondering, how are you doing that now? What are some of the things working for you to achieve that goal while continuing to build your real estate portfolio?
Yep. So, so I got involved with, in a couple mastermind groups, and I've you know, and some of that's giving and receiving. You know, there's just really a lot of high performers in these groups, and we all have different strengths and different areas of expertise. So able to give at a high level like that to some of our peers. But I remember, you know, starting out, like, how important mentors were to me in my evolution. And just so, even locally, and I connect with people at conferences or online or whatever, just being able to share some of that experience and knowledge that I've acquired. And if I can help somebody shortcut their journey, you know, and avoid some of the mistakes that we made early on, then that's gratifying to me. And, you know, one of my mentors in the business now, I'm part of his mastermind. He had, you know, asked of me to coach some students that he couldn't handle anymore. And he, you know, so came on as one of his coaches, and I have, you know, a handful of students through that program. And it's really gratifying to see, you know, these beginners and some people that are, you know, even longtime investors, that just need a, kind of a push or a pull in the right direction. So, you know, do that on, you know, sort of the national, you know, like nationally, where, you know, people are from all over the country. And then locally, you know, I'm president of our local real estate association. We've got 1600 members, and we do monthly meetings, and just always connecting with younger investors and trying to get them, not necessarily younger in age, but newer in you know, in their experience level, and getting them, you know, kind of set on the right track.
Jason, I really love that theme of helping local investors, because I do feel like when you do have all this knowledge, I mean, you do want to pass it on. You do want to give it to people. You do want to say, these are mistakes I made. Don't make them. These are my successes. Kind of like what you've been doing throughout this episode. And for people who do want to learn more about you and follow your journey, where are some good places we can go?
Sure. They can go on my website at perorealestate.com, which I've got some resources on there. They can connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn. You know, they can always email me directly as well. And if anybody wants to set up a time for a quick phone call, happy to do that too.
Jason, those links will be in the show notes of this episode. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks a lot for having me. I really enjoyed it.